You're listening to Do You Hear That? A podcast about birds, hosted by Noah Kalina and Paul Amara. We're bird enthusiasts, not bird experts. So yesterday I mentioned that I had a dentist appointment that I was about to go to, and I was worried because I've been eating nothing but Werther's Originals caramel candies, and every time I go to the dentist, I'm afraid I'm going to have a cavity, and I've never had a cavity.
Whoa. Hold on, Paul. Like, what? Something is in my ear right now. Did you see that?
Wait. What was that?
Whoa.
That was like a giant bug. What? It was like a huge beetle.
No. But a lot of the times you think it could be a bug. That was not a bug.
Are you sure? It sounded like a bug.
It's not a bug. Polly, that was the ruby-throated hummingbird.
The ruby-throated hummingbird? No way.
Yeah, scientific name. Archilochus colubris.
Beautiful. Wait, okay, this is one of the few birds that I actually frequently see.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Well, you're right. It's only on the East Coast.
You see a hummingbird.
I see hummingbirds all the time, and they all have like this, that shimmery ruby-throated ruby throat.
I mean, I don't know what you've got over there. You definitely have a hummingbird. There are lots of hummingbirds. There's a black-chinned hummingbird, the broad-tailed hummingbird, Anna's hummingbird.
Who's Anna?
I don't know. Who is Anna? Over here on the East Coast, we have the ruby-throated hummingbird, a very common bird, but not common to see just accidentally. You see it accidentally. You never see it on purpose. This is a bird that I don't actually think it's a bird.
What?
I think this is an alien.
I was thinking before we started this show that the hummingbird does feel like a different sort of genre of birds.
Right.
But in a similar way that I would say like the wild turkey is a different kind of bird, you know, because those are just like so different looking.
Right.
But this bird is something else.
Yeah. It's halfway between a bug and a bird.
Yeah. It's still cute.
Well, let's describe what the hummingbird looks like, the ruby-throated hummingbird.
The ruby-throated hummingbird is a cute, tiny, tiny little bird.
Tiny.
With a very long beak. It's very long. It's like a little needle. Mm. It has extremely short legs that actually prevents the hummingbird from walking or hopping.
Yeah.
Did you know that? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that until I looked it up. I have seen them perched before. I've been able to get a photo of them perched.
I didn't even think about it.
I didn't really think about it either.
Yeah.
In fact, I thought when I saw them sitting, I just didn't think they were even sitting on legs.
Yeah.
Because they kind of hover.
Right.
They're like a hover bird.
Right, which is amazing.
We'll get into that.
But it says that the best it can do with its legs is shuffle along a perch.
Right.
So that's amazing. I guess that shows how strong of a flyer this bird is. But this ruby-throated version is incredibly colorful. Mm-hmm. It has green, white, red, or ruby coloring, and then black on its head.
Yeah, the male.
And the female is green. Green on the back.
Yeah.
Is the male green on the back?
It has it in there. Again, I think in many ways the female's more pretty in a more subdued way.
You're right.
But green, teal, it's like the most luscious kind of greens and blues on the back of that female ruby-throated hummingbird. But, Paul, believe it or not, sometimes these birds, when you look at them, you don't see the color at all.
What?
It needs to be hitting the light in a very particular way.
Oh.
Or else you just think it's a little sort of nothing. Like it's a, like a bug. When it buzzes your ear, you don't see how colorful it is.
Wow, that's interesting. I did see this fact. It says it looks dark when it's not in good light.
There you go.
And I was like, okay, yeah, I guess like not good light, but I didn't realize how reflective. Yeah. So they're truly like reflective or like iridescent.
Yeah, you really need to light it. It needs to be in a very particular way. In fact, I don't know how many times I've seen the ruby-throated part.
Dude, I'm telling you, I see them all the time. I don't know what it is, but...
Are you sure it wasn't the Lucifer hummingbird?
It could have been.
Or Rivoli's hummingbird?
You're right. I didn't...
Or the blue-throated mountain gem.
Oof, there's too many of these guys.
I know, there's a lot of hummingbirds.
I do see them all the time, and it is truly like the hummingbird, the pigeon, and believe it or not, a peacock. Those are the three birds I see all the time.
Wow. That peacock is a pet, I would assume.
Yeah, it lives in my neighbor's house.
I guess the thing with the hummingbird is you can attract it fairly easily with hummingbird feeders.
Yeah, and I have two neighbors that both have one.
There you go.
So that's why I see them all the time.
Yeah, you should put one up too.
I should put one up.
It's a treat when they come. And then you take out your iPhone and you put on slow-mo camera.
Yeah.
You know, because it's right out the window and you just put it there and you find it and you slowly approach the window and and you finally get it and you get to see the hummingbird in slow motion.
Oh my God.
Because those wings, dude.
Yeah, they're incredible.
What did they say, like 50 flaps a second or something?
That's incredible.
And that's why it buzzes. Like it's buzzing my ear right now. It just flew away. And I've seen them. I've been out in the garden or I've just been on the side of my house and the hummingbird will show up. It'll buzz over, hover. It pauses, hovers, waits there, looks at me, goes up, goes down, goes left, goes up, and then zooms away. And it's so tiny, once it gets beyond your line of sight, it just completely disappears. It's really, truly not of this planet.
It does not act like how other birds act.
No. They're on a mission, I think.
They are on a mission.
They're gathering intel.
So one thing I learned about this bird is that muscles make up 25 to 30% of their body weight. And their blade-like wings are unlike the wings of any other bird because they connect to the body of the hummingbird only from the shoulder joint.
Wow.
So I guess other birds, that's not how it's working in there.
Hmm.
And I imagine that's how they're able to like flap so much faster because there's less bones clacking together in there.
Wow.
But that's an adaptation that they like evolve to have over time. So the wings can actually rotate almost 180 degrees. Which is why it lets the bird fly forward, backwards, and hover.
Yeah, hover. It is incredible.
But the sound of it, like the sound of the wings is what I think of when I think of a hummingbird and not the actual sort of chipping sound that it makes.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever heard that chipping sound knowingly.
Right, yeah.
Apparently it happens in the morning. The male makes that call.
And it is really quiet.
But that said, you know, this show is called Do You Hear That? It is something you hear because it startles you. It's so loud.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't shy away necessarily. I mean, when you're not paying attention to it, it comes to you.
Yeah.
And then taunts you and then flies away and you thought it was a bug about to eat your ear or something.
Have you ever had a hummingbird fly into your ear?
No, but that's what I'm saying. It's like it feels like that's what's about to happen.
That happened. I have really waxy ears.
No.
I'm not kidding.
That is, get out of here.
I'm not kidding.
What?
I was at my grandparents' house and my grandma was like, don't move. And I was like, what do you mean? And I heard this like buzzing sound and it was a hummingbird looking for some treats inside my ear. It didn't last for very long, but then it flew away.
Did it lick your ear?
It licked my ear. Yeah.
No, it did not.
A little tiny. Yeah. Yeah.
It's too bad you didn't get that on video because that's premium content for the Patreon.
Right?
Did you read about the hummingbird nest?
You know, I didn't read about the hummingbird nest.
So this nest is, they say, the size of a thimble.
What?
Like something like 2 inches wide by 1 inch tall or something like that.
Wow.
It's so tiny that you'll probably never see it. I don't know how anyone has ever found it.
Wow. So it's just like big enough for like a few eggs.
Yeah, but how small are those eggs?
That's a good question.
Hummingbird eggs. Google it. Look at that. It's smaller than the size of a fingernail.
Oh my gosh. That's incredible. How big are their babies? I guess their babies have to be that big too.
This is why it's like, is it a bird or is it a bug?
Where's the line between an insect and a bird? Like, what is the most bird-like insect? Because I think that the hummingbird is the most insect-like bird.
I mean, I'm not qualified to answer that question. There could be a tinier bird. I'm sure there is. Let's Google it real fast.
I wonder if there's an insect podcast. Maybe we can collab.
Let's just start an insect podcast.
Okay, great. You can be like, do you taste that?
So I just Googled the smallest bird.
Yeah.
And it said humming. It just is giving me a list of hummingbirds.
So for once, we were right about something.
But I guess specifically, maybe, Audubon.org says, get to know the bee hummingbird. The world's smallest bird.
Bee.
Only found in Cuba, these birds lay their eggs in nests the size of a quarter.
Wow.
Let's get to know it. Let's go to Cuba.
I've been to Cuba.
I've been to Cuba too.
Oh, so we can go back. We won't need anyone to show us around.
Yeah. When I went to Cuba, Fidel Castro actually spoke to my class.
Whoa.
It was really strange.
That's crazy.
I have like a video of it.
Was that like 1954?
No, it was 2001.
Oh, whoa.
And the thing about Fidel Castro is he just talks and talks and talks and talks and talks and talks. And he just never shut up. Like we started this lecture thing, started at like 9 o'clock. It didn't end till 2 a.m. People were sleeping. You know, you'd think it would be this great honor or something.
Yeah.
To have Fidel Castro talk to you. And he just would not shut the fuck up.
Wow. What were we talking about? The hummingbird?
Oh, yeah. The ruby-throated hummingbird.
Or we're going to go to Cuba. We're going to see the bee hummingbird.
What a trip that would be. Bird Note has a great little podcast. They do minute-long podcasts, and they have one on the bee hummingbird. Listen to that only after you listen to our show.
Yeah.
I know you said you had reams of notes for the hummingbird.
I kind of went through them all really quickly, but there's this one funny part on All About Birds. They explain how you can attract the ruby-throated hummingbirds to your backyard by setting up a hummingbird feeder with a mixture of water and sugar.
Right.
Sometimes called sugar water.
Yeah, exactly.
In that little description, they said food coloring is unnecessary.
Yeah.
And I was like wondering, okay, why did they put that there? I was not thinking about adding food coloring to my sugar water mixture. Is this a thing people do?
Well, so at the store, at Tractor Supply or wherever you might buy your chicken feed, they sell hummingbird mixture, which is basically a sugar water, but for whatever reason, it's red. Super bright red.
Oh.
You could get it in a powder or in a liquid, and the liquid is super red. To be honest, because I have a hummingbird feeder on the side of my house, and I've been too cheap to want to buy the pre-made mixture. And also because technically you can make your own by using a cup of sugar to, you know, whatever the ratio is.
Do you do that?
I've done it, but to be honest, the red stuff from the farm store works better.
Oh, really?
I see less hummingbirds at my feeder with homemade sugar water.
Interesting. I wonder if the color is like attractive to them.
Well, the feeder that I have, which was nice at one time, it's glass and then it has the holes where it sticks its beak in. It's red.
Oh.
So it wouldn't even really be able to tell what color the liquid was. But I think maybe that stuff you buy from the store is sweeter.
That's interesting. Well, there's another note here that says, in hot weather, sugar water ferments rapidly to produce toxic alcohol.
This could be why they're not. It's in the sun all day, and I only change it every couple months. So
you should change it.
I should change it out. This is a good note. Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah. Well, now you know. And you know what? This podcast is all about learning.
Yeah.
You just learned something.
I did. I'm going to change it tomorrow.
Great. Great.
Not only do they go to the feeders that you can attract them at, but I do see them in the spring dipping their beaks into the apple blossoms that I have on my property.
Oh, nice. Do their beaks open?
I don't know. Yeah, good question.
Or is it just a little tongue that comes? Because they have a tongue.
I would assume, I think I read something, they do grab insects in mid-flight.
Okay.
So it's like imagine their beak was shut and just... It's like a straw. Their tongue is a straw.
I would not have been surprised.
I don't think that's how it works.
I don't think it is either.
It definitely looks like, because if you look at their beak, it doesn't look like something that...
It's too thin. It's so thin.
Yeah.
But there is this picture here on allaboutbirds.org of a juvenile hummingbird, and you can see its tongue sticking out.
Oh.
Just with at like the tip of it, you can kind of see a separation between the top half and bottom half of their beak.
Right.
So I imagine it does open up, but they probably... don't have enough energy to open their mouth all the time because they're so exhausted from humming around. These birds are, it's incredible how muscular they are. I mean, 25 to 30% of their body's muscles because they have to be that strong to flap around and hover. They could almost be called the hover bird.
Totally. You know, the official song of the hummingbird is Hummer by Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, I love that song.
Let's play a clip.
No, we can't. We're going to get in trouble for playing a clip.
I thought on Spotify, you're allowed. We use Anchor. There's a whole thing.
Oh,
man.
You're right. Yeah. Let's play the entire song right now.
Yeah. You have to play the whole song.
Yeah.
It's like an 8-minute song. We can play the episode out with it.
Perfect.
I don't know if there was something else I wanted to say about the. Oh, yeah. The map of this bird, because it basically says like. Breeding, it breeds basically, and this very specifically, the ruby-throated hummingbird wherever your listener is living, you probably have a hummingbird, but it might not be the ruby-throated. But this particular bird breeds all up and down the East Coast, up into Canada just a little bit, as far west as basically, I don't know, Missouri, maybe a little bit into Nebraska. But then it winters down in Central America. Mm. So I read that it actually flies across the Gulf of Mexico.
Whoa, that's bold.
It seems like a far trip for such a tiny bird.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I'm sure this bird can glide. You know, most birds can glide, but this bird seems like it's more of a hover.
I wonder if they wait for the wind or something, because you would think they might need to take a break.
Yeah, exactly.
Where did they land?
Yeah, maybe they can swim. Well, they couldn't swim because they don't really have feet to swim.
Oh, true. They just bob. Yeah.
Yeah.
The bobber bird.
Maybe they hitch a ride on the back of a goose. I could totally see a little hummingbird like saddled up on the neck of a goose. Like the goose wouldn't even notice. This bird is so small.
True. So let's review it. Let's put it up on the 5-point hum scale.
Yeah.
What would you give the Volvo CX?
Wait, are you reading birds or cars?
I confuse our shows. People don't know we also have a car show.
Yeah, we have that car show.
Every day is a new car.
We should do a car show. We could do that. The ruby-throated hummingbird gets a rare 5 out of 5 from me.
It's not that rare anymore. I think the last couple have been fives, but I'm right with you.
I mean, I can't not give it a 5. Look at this bird. It's absolutely...
It's a 5 hum bird.
Yeah. Yeah, those hums, you couldn't even tell because they're so quiet, but that was 5. There was 5 of them that just hummed by.
It was kind of loud. It was right in my ears. Both sides, it was spatial.
Oh, yeah, spatial audio.
Kind of went back and forth.
See you tomorrow.
All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Do you hear that? Is hosted by Noah Kalina and Paul O'Mara. Edited and engineered by Paul. Music, also by Paul. Noah last spotted a ruby-throated hummingbird on August 4th, 2022. Follow us on Twitter at TheBestBirdPod and support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/doyouhearthat. Episode art images sourced from the Library of Congress, ambient bird sounds by Noah Kalina, and additional bird sounds from macaulaylibrary.org.